So here we are at Greek Club once again, and we're going to pick up in Matthew 6, right where we left off last week, with verse 5. You'll see a lot of the vocabulary continues here, and a lot of the same sentence patterns are used, so we won't encounter too many new things in that regard. But we do want to try to get to verse 8 at least, where we have a little bit of a strange syntax there. So verse 5 then, kai hoton prosukesthet. We saw some sentences with hoton last time, and we noted that it's really hota, the temporal adverb with on, then giving it that idea of contingency, because this pattern is used not with a specific event in mind, but with something that could be repeated, that may happen in the future, things like that. And I think you asked a question, I did check, and it is used sometimes with the indicative, but the grammars say that's a later development in Hellenistic Greek, so that's not a classical pattern. But here you do have the, at least what you would expect from that classical pattern of hoton with the subjunctive. And then you note the verb following, essestha. This is the future of eimi. So you have on with the subjunctive followed by a future, which is really then the equivalent of what we used to call the future, more vivid, a condition looking toward the future, but with a suggesting a high likelihood that this will happen. And then the force of it really is that whenever part A is true, part B should always be true as well. Here it's a little bit different in that it's almost the equivalent now of a command. So when prosukesthe, you pray, and note here again now it's you plural, sort of speaking to the whole group in general, when you pray, uk essestha, you will not be, kind of future with the imperative force here, hos hoi hypokritai, you will not be, here again with hos, like the hypocrites. And again, we said last time, hypocrites really is a theatrical term from people who are playing a role that doesn't really express their genuine thought. So don't be play acting when you're at prayer. Now, in what sense? Don't be hypocritical. In what way? That's explained in the haughty clause. So, haughty philousen entais synagogais kai entais goniais ton plateon. We pretty much have to finish it to get the whole thing. Hestotes prosukesthai. Here, don't be like them because or for. Philousen from phileo, just the regular present indicative. Remember, it's an epsilon contract verb. For they love. You can have several things follow phileo, but here you have the infinitive, prosukesthai. The same as the English pattern, they love to do something. And it means to, you know, pretty much the same as we would use the construction, something that you enjoy doing or something you do all the time. So they love to pray, which, of course, in itself wouldn't be a bad thing, right? But now the participle then here qualifies what's wrong about their way of going about prayer. Hestotes from histemi. Remember, histemi has that almost a full double pattern of tenses. So not just a weak and a strong aorist, but weak and strong. Here we have imperfect as well. And this perfect form then, if we could all pull out belts, it would be happy. You can see the form side by side again. You can do that on page 365 in the second edition. I haven't seen the new one yet, but this is the intransitive form, so not standing something up, but you standing in a place. So they love to pray standing where? Standing up in the synagogues, and en tais goniais ton pateon, the corners of the broad places. There's something missing here. It's again kind of an idiom. Plateia comes to stand for street, when originally it meant a wide street, you know, wide enough that traffic could pass through. So here, just on the street corners. In both places, you can see there would be a ready-made audience to watch the prayer, and that's, or listen to the prayer, and that's, of course, what's being criticized here. So they love to pray standing up in these places where others can see them, and that's what the hapos explains. So hapos phanosen tois anthropois. Hapos, as a conjunction, we said last time, expresses purpose. So why would they do this standing up? So that phanosen tois anthropois. So that phanosen is from phino. Remember, it's one of those liquid stem verbs, so it does some unusual things. This is a little bit tricky here. This is actually the second aorist passive. So you don't have the theta to signal you that you're dealing with the passive. And I actually checked a couple of places to see what the second aorist active form would look like, and I couldn't find it anywhere, so I'm guessing it doesn't even exist, that you would never see it used. So there is a second aorist active, some second aorist forms, but I was unable to find the equivalent here in an active form. So phino, which here in the passive means to become visible, to be seen. And you can see why the dative is there. It's really in the sense of appearing to people or before them. But often in English, we'll switch that to agency, to be seen by them. You can see the meaning is the same, even though the construction switches a little bit. So they like to stand up and appear before people, letting them watch them. Amen lego humin, talked about that again last time, a construction that announces a serious or solemn declaration, a form used only by Jesus in the New Testament. So truly I say to you, ap ekousin ton misthon auton. Ap echo is to receive in full, that is the full amount due you, the whole payment on the account. So they have received their reward, their recompense in full. That is, nothing more is coming.
Yeah. I'm just wondering what this hapos, what verb does that refer back to? Does it refer back to phelousin, prosukasta, or hestostas? Do you see that verb in order that?
Yeah, it. In terms of its meaning, really refers back to the whole clause. I mean, they. Technically, it's this loving to pray, but it's loving to pray in a certain way. Mm-hmm. So.
If you were to.
I mean, you couldn't just. Yeah. I'm
saying, if you were to diagram it, which verb would it go back to?
Probably the participle then,
because
that, you know, just praying you wouldn't necessarily be able to see them or the love, but it's when they stand prominently, that's what results in their being visible.
Thank you.
Okay, so then you have the whole sentence now. Whenever you pray, don't be like them in this regard. And the reason for that is the whole reward. Does that suggest, too, that that includes the answer to the prayer? It's interesting to think about that, but that goes a little bit beyond just the questions of the Greek club. Okay, number 6, or verse 6. Sudehatan prasuke. We saw this pattern last time where it starts with a second person plural and then switches to the second singular, making it a lot more personal and immediate. So now we switch to, but you, that is each of you, when you pray. Asalpha. So here, instead of the future, we have the imperative. So whenever you are praying, enter into Asta Tameon Su. This is the inner room of a house. Or initially, it would have been a storeroom, probably because it's the most secure room in the house. So you can imagine here a room with no external walls, that is, a room with no windows. So the only entrance to it would be this door. So it would be the place to keep things that you wanted to keep safe. But here it's sort of the opposite, that because it's this kind of room, when you enter it and close the door, you're truly private. No one else can witness what's going on. But you, whenever you pray, you're in contrast to the hypocrites. Enter into your inner room, kai kleisos, aorist participle from kleo, tain thuron, having closed the door, prosuksai. I'll have to confess, this one threw me off for a minute. I kept wanting to make it an infinitive or something, but it's actually a middle imperative. So second person singular, imperative, middle deponent, because prosukamai is a deponent verb. So having closed the door, then pray to your Father, the one who is in secret. Okay, so a double imperative. Go enter this room and pray in secret. Okay, then here, remember, before we had a method of praying and its result contrasted, or its purpose, its final result, that you receive your reward in full. Here you also have, this is what will follow after you pray. Kai ha pater su, and your Father, ha blepon. See how the article, remember, takes the participle back, connecting it to the noun. Your Father, the one who sees, en to krypto, in the secret place, which here becomes almost an adverb, who sees in secret or secretly, apodose soi, will reward you, give you proper recompense. From apodidomi, this is the future, and it can be used really in good or bad ways, but here the suggestion is in a good sense he will render what you've asked for in your prayer. Okay. Any questions so far? Okay, well, let's look then at the next two verses, which continue with the theme on prayer. And of course, you can see we're leading up to the Lord's Prayer. Pros eukomenoi de me bata logeseka. So, pros eukomenoi, here's participle, masculine plural nominative. So modifying the subject, but the main verb is the bata logeseta, which is an onomatopoetic word. I had to get up early to practice that. But the bata, according to Bedag anyway, is to suggest the sound of stuttering or stammering, where you repeat the same word several times before you can move on to the next word. So it's imitating that kind of unclear speech which adds unnecessary words or syllables into the sentence, thus making it difficult to follow and so on. So here you have the may with the aorist subjunctive and the usual prohibition. So do not speak without thinking. Speak in this repetitive, almost unintelligible kind of way, saying the same words over and over again. It's that kind of idea. And then the participle then modifies that. So as you are praying, do not do this. Hospair, remember we said hospair is really a kind of intensified host. So just like the ethnikoi. Ethnikos would be the adjective, but in the New Testament you only see this used as a substantive, ha ethnikos, which really means people from another ethnic background, but suggests then also all that goes with being a non-Israelite or a Gentile in terms of faith and practice of religion and so on. This is the way then that the ethnikoi are pictured as praying, with this unnecessary multiplication of words. And here again you have a reason why. Dakusengar, dakusen from dakeo, to think or suppose, and again this often expresses the person's own opinion and is quite often a wrong opinion. Not always, but so they suppose, followed by hoti, giving them the content of what it is they think. For they suppose that ente polylogia auton, and polylogia is a fairly obvious compound of putting together these many words, and Bedag suggests wordiness or even long-windedness. So they think or suppose that with their many words or long-windedness, esakus theisontai, they will be heard. Future passive from esakuo, and you can almost picture it here, that they're going to actually sort of stick their words in the ear of God. I mean, they're going to get a hearing where they really penetrate and God will listen and respond. So through their repetitious, almost nonsensical style of praying, this is what they hope to accomplish. But in verse 8, our Lord corrects this misunderstanding of what real prayer is like. Meun homoiothete autois. So therefore, this is the conclusion. And once again, we have me with the subjunctive. Here it's with an aorist passive subjunctive from homoiao. And in the passive, the verb simply takes on the sense of become like or be like. So therefore, do not be like them. And the one you're like is put in the dative. Okay, now, why not? Oiden gar ho pater humon. Remember oiden from oida. This is really a perfect form of a verb to see. So it's something you've seen and now experienced, so you know it. It's perfect in form, but we translate it as present in meaning. And you can see ideas of past action resulting in a present condition of knowledge in that sense, although the focus is always on your present state of knowledge. So your Father knows. Now this is where it gets a little tricky here. Hon kreon ekete pra tu himas aitesai auton. Okay. Hon kreon ekete. The hon there is the relative pronoun, so it's the neuter plural genitive. Crayon is accusative singular, and eketa then is the simple second person plural singular, or second person plural indicative of echo. There's something missing here, and what often happens with the relative pronoun, when the noun is an obvious thing like things, it simply drops out. Dr. Gibbs very nicely gives you what we would like the whole Greek to be in the commentary by putting in the words that would make it a complete sentence. But you need another accusative object in there, right? Your Father knows the things, and then with the really the partitive genitive, of which, and then ekete, crayon, you have need. So that would be what it would look like with everything there that we would like in English. So he knows the things of which you have need. Now, pra tu himas aitesai auton. Here you have the question before that.
My question is this relative pronoun. Relative pronouns usually refer back to something else in the mm-hmm. sentence, right? Is that an absolute, you know, obviously it's not here, but is that like kind of like a general rule, or is it, can we just take this as, you know, good grammar that's pretty usual, pretty standard, that if we're talking about things and we just don't want to say things and then have a relative pronoun, we could just put it like this?
Yeah, I think in a case like this, this would be pretty standard.
Standard Greek. Okay.
It's throws you off a bit when you first see it, because you're looking for another accusative, and you just don't find it here. But then, after you've seen a few of these, and you remember the relative pronoun does this kind of double duty, then it was, I guess, obvious enough that it's fairly common in Greek. Okay, so then the sentence is finished with another one of these articular infinitives. Again, we saw it last week with cross, I think. Here we have it with pra, which then takes the genitive, so the definite article goes into the genitive case. And this is where you would get that pattern that Dr. Veltz does something like before the act of asking. So pra tu aitesai, and then you have the two accusative pronouns there. This is what you'll often see, so you know which one is the subject and which is the object, because the infinitive takes its subject in the accusative case. So here the humas, the you plural, would be the subject. So before the act of asking, with you all as the doers, and then the auton, ask him, and I teo can take the accusative of the person you're putting the request to. So to put it all together, for your Father knows, oiden, the things, in parentheses, of which you have need before you ask him. So here again, before the asking even happens, is really kind of the emphasis of putting that in the infinitive. So again, the attitude toward prayer is such that you don't have to try to come up with strategies or schemes to get God to hear, because he knows what you need, and he's disposed in his love toward giving you that. So such things not only are foolish and unnecessary, but show that you don't really understand the way your Father wants you to come to Him in prayer. Okay, our time is up, and we stop here. And hopefully the Master will be back next time to take you through the Lord's Prayer.